Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning and welcome to our program, etc. And I know that this year is going to be far better than last year. And we'd like to begin with an article from the October 2020 issue of Share International magazine titled Creation is Groaning. Pope Francis denounces endless growth. And it's written by Andrea Germanos, and who is a senior editor of the website commondreams.org. Pope Francis has rallied against humanity's exploitation of natural resources and pursuit of endless growth as he urged people across the world to act with the urgency young people worldwide have demanded to protect the earth and build back better from the coronavirus.
The Pope's call came in a written message to mark the World Day of Prayer for the care of creation in September, in which he urged people to view the disintegration of biodiversity, spiraling climate disasters, and the unjust impact of the current pandemic on the poor and vulnerable as a wake-up call in the face of our rampant greed and consumption. And he says, our constant demand for growth and an endless cycle of production and consumption are exhausting the natural world. Forests are leached, topsoil erodes, fields fail, deserts advance, seeds acidify, and storms intensify. Creation is growing, is groaning, I should say. Pope Francis framed the COVID-19 crisis as having given us a chance to develop new ways of living and brought us to a crossroads at which societies can choose to end our superfluous and destructive goals and activities and to cultivate values, connections and activities that are life-giving.
In addition to reiterating his call for debt cancellation for poor countries, the Pope said the post-pandemic recovery packages being crafted by lawmakers must be regeneration packages. Policy, legislation and investment must be focused on the common good and guarantee that global, social and environmental goals are met, he said. The Pope stressed the need to meet the Paris Climate Accord goals to stave off catastrophic impacts of the planet's heating. Climate restoration is of utmost importance since we are in the midst of a climate emergency. We are running out of time, as our children and young people have reminded us, he added. He further called on leaders to work to stem the alarming rate of biodiversity loss and expressed hope the Conference of the Parties of the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity set for next May in Kunming, China, could be a turning point in restoring the Earth to be a home of life in abundance.
The new message also called for strengthened regulation of the activities of extractive companies to ensure access to justice for those affected, especially indigenous communities. Young climate activists and those on the front lines in responding to the ecological crisis drew praise from Pope Francis. And he said, they are calling for a jubilee for the earth and a new beginning, aware that things can change.
And economic commentators today are now agreeing that our pursuit of endless growth is a drug that we must wean ourselves off. The goal of endless economic growth means sustainability is shelved, even when consequences are disastrous, which is what we see today at almost every level of the environment and society. When children go on strike to point out the obvious, it becomes clear that those in control are making the wrong choices for humanity. Pope Francis is just another high-profile person demanding immediate action to end the world's economic foolishness.
Next, we have an article from Benjamin Creme's master titled A Time of Change. Very apt theme considering the events over the past year. And it was given in April 1983 and republished in the November 2020 issue. Almost without exception, the nations of the world are experiencing profound changes both internally and in relation to each other. This process is the direct result of the energetic stimulus now pervading the planet as a whole and will lead eventually to a complete transformation of the existing structures. To quicken these changes is our desire and wish, but so great today are the tensions that we must proceed with care. Too much pressure here or there could have disastrous consequences for large sections of the world. Hence our cautious approach to the problems which face man today. Change must proceed in an orderly fashion or chaos will result.
Many there are who fear change and who see the breakdown of the old as a profound loss of much-loved forms. Many reject these changes as a threat to their privileges and prestige. Many mistake the legitimate aspirations of peoples for freedom and justice for the threat of anarchy from within. At the same time, there are those who would sweep away all that humanity has garnered of the beautiful and the true. Impatient for the new forms, they fail to see the necessity of gradual progress and discount much that is of value in the past. Our problem as guardians of the race is to steer a course between these two extremes, applying the curb and the spur as we sense the need. Always, our aim is the achievement of ordered change with the minimum of cleavage. Look, therefore, for our hand in world events and judge them wisely. Much that takes place is fashioned by us and must eventuate in a better world. When you see us, you will know that this world is in safekeeping.
Listen to our counsel and act. Heed our advice and refashion the world in stages which are possible and sure. Take care that your brother's needs are met and you will not err. If you are asked, in which direction should we go? Answer with joy, to serve the greatest need, to brotherhood. To rebuild the fabric of your lives, new materials and new skills will be necessary. Replace the outworn forms with the new energies now available and learn to create in relationships forged in joy and love. Temper your lives in the fire of service and contribute your share to the work of change. With us as guides, all is possible. All will be remade in beauty and truth. Willing hands will be there to help you, and naught can delay the new beginning. When you see us, you will know that the brothers are men like yourselves, but whose love is manifest. We will teach you the secret of love. In joy shall we take you to the farther shore, and shall place you before the keeper of the gates.
All change is preceded by tension, and tension brings fear. However, fear has no place in the heart activated by service and love. Don, then, the armor of service and envisage the future with joy. Welcome gladly the changes which must ensue and create together the dispensation of love. And as Megan said, this was republished in the November 2020 issue.
To read to you some articles published in the letters to the editor section of the magazine. We don't usually do this, but we just thought for a change we would share with you some of these letters. Share International has a large reservoir of unpublished letters which were confirmed by Benjamin Creme and his master to be genuine encounters with masters or a spokesperson. Other letters presented are new, and while they cannot be confirmed or indicate whether a master is involved, they are presented in the magazine as letters for the reader's consideration. And the first two have the interesting theme of quitting smoking.
And so we start. Dear Editor, at a transmission meditation conference several years ago in San Francisco, Benjamin Krim shared with us how he quit smoking. He said he used to smoke those little cigars that looked like cigarettes. He had laid his pack of them on the bed. When he turned back to put them in his pocket, they were missing. After looking around a bit, he realized his master must have made them disappear. Benjamin spoke with his master and they reappeared on his bed. Realizing it must be very important and being responsive and true to his master, he soon quit smoking. Of course, the masters knew we had all heard this story. I had tried to quit smoking cigarettes several times. I smoked about 3 packs a day. I had tried tapering but could not get below 6 cigarettes a day, craving them most after I ate and when I had a cocktail. I had also tried quitting cold turkey. Nothing seemed to work. I eventually quit drinking. Then one day I was sitting in my easy chair with my ashtray and my purple Baby Bic lighter on the end table to my left. I reached for my lighter and it was not there. I actually put my hand on the table exactly where it had been. Nothing. Thinking I was mistaken, I looked around our apartment for it, to no avail. As I walked down the hall and back into the living room, I looked at the end table and there, glowing a brighter purple than I had ever seen, was my Bic lighter. I immediately thought about Ben's experience, looked up at the ceiling and said, "Oh, Master, I understand." I immediately threw out my cigarettes and never smoked again. To this day, I have kept that little lighter as a reminder. I am absolutely certain that this helpful miracle was created by Maitreya, Jesus, or Benjamin Krem's master, and will always be grateful for the help. Larson from Los Angeles, USA.
And the next letter to the editor. Like many smokers, I tried to give up several times but always lapsed. I kept on trying to stop but failed until one day I believed I was given an idea and an insight. I didn't think of it, it just presented itself whole to me. The gist of it was, the person you were when you started smoking no longer exists. You have changed. The needs and attitudes you had then are no longer real or relevant. Therefore, the you as you are today does not need what you needed as that old version of yourself. The new you is free of that habit. The moment that idea penetrated my mind, I turned into a total non-smoker, almost as if I had never smoked or related to smoking. Smoking seemed instantly alien to me. I have never wanted or needed to smoke since that day.
And now on to another topic. Dear Editor, after I had contracted COVID-19 one night in April 2020, I clearly saw a presence in my studio with a white light. My lungs were burning from hypoxia. I sometimes had apnea during my sleep. I had 10 symptoms and had a lot of pain. I clearly felt an energy during the first hours of the night. I realized that what I was going through had become worse, but would improve. I felt a deep gratitude for being rescued from hospitalization and maybe even more. At one point, I felt extremely ill, but something made me open my eyes in the middle of the night. I was drawn to a specific corner of the room where I was sleeping. At the time, I thought that the corner had been refurbished somehow, even though the colors I saw didn't match those of my room. I got up, despite the pain, and I established that it was not coming from the corner. There were blue and white points of light moving from left to right.
And another letter to the editor. On 26th May 2016, we were distributing flyers on the marketplace in Leipzig, where thousands of Catholics from all over Germany met in a 4-day event called Katholischer Kirchentag. The flyer started with the word hope and showed a picture of Maitreya's star, comparing it with the star 2,000 years ago. I always said hope when I handed it out. Many people, more than usual, wanted it. After a couple of hours, a lady dressed in white and sitting in a beige wheelchair passed by. She was in her late 60s. She had dyed the white hair of her fringe violet, which made her look casual. I offered her a flyer saying hope. When she turned around facing me and said, "I have no hope. My son committed suicide. My other son hasn't wanted any contact for 3 years, and my health is getting worse." I was touched by her words and looked for something comforting to say to her, bringing it somehow in line with our message. So I told her to look for the star as a sign of hope and ask for help, and that so many people are sick because of our way of life that we'll have to change. I ended saying something like, "Have hope, change will come soon." When she suddenly smiled at me and to my astonishment uttered optimistically, "I know." Before I could react, she turned around and disappeared in the crowd. I wonder if she was someone special. And that was from A. Hessel in Berlin, Germany.
And now a few more letters to the editor. The following were published in the November 2020 issue. Dear editor, just recently, in fact September 2020, my mother and I had an argument about the existence of God. And because she was determined the whole time that she was right, I kept trying to end the conversation. It was actually a very unpleasant experience. But a day or so after our discussion, she told me that she'd been looking out of the window and seen a man wearing a suit making the sign of the cross at least 20 times as he crossed the road. I couldn't contain a spontaneous laugh. Perhaps it was a hopeful sign. In any case, it made me feel happy. That's from KM in Belgium.
And next, dear editor, my fiancé John and I had a six-day break in Bath, Somerset in 2005 and enjoyed the beauty of the place. But some not-so-enjoyable time was spent when I was walking with John and his daughter along a stretch of pavement which overlooked part of the River Avon and suddenly tripped, falling with a clatter face forwards. I just lay there for a minute because the fall had winded me. I needed to rest, take in some air. Also, I felt sure my face must have been bleeding profusely as before. And that's referring to a previous letter to the editor where she had a fall. A few people came to my assistance and wanted to phone for an ambulance. But I suddenly felt I could get up from the pavement with caring assistance and felt much improved. I was very surprised to see I was not bleeding at all, and it felt my fall must have been cushioned somehow because I had fallen with some force. Then I saw a gentleman dressed in black and wearing a small round hat. I saw he had a very lovely face. When he saw I was safe to be standing, he suggested I should lean against the parapet overlooking the water, and then he calmly walked away. Because I felt quite sore around the rib area, John and his daughter took me to a hospital to be checked out. The result was that all was well with my breathing and intake of oxygen. We went back to our holiday room. Later, I again saw the man in black in my mind's eye and remembered his caring calmness and wondered if this was once again a special man. And this was from D. Biscoe in North Yorkshire, UK. Benjamin Creme's master replied that, or confirmed, that the man in black was Maitreya.
Another one, dear editor. I live in Portland, Oregon, USA, and was standing at one of the bus stops in the Transit Mall downtown in March 2005. Normally, this is not a very good situation for me as I am very sensitive to the energies that people give off, particularly negative energy. And this specific situation was no exception. A somewhat older woman entered the bus kiosk and took a seat. She was wearing a kerchief over her head and had a long plain jacket, reminiscent of a Slavic style. As I struggled with my situation, however, I felt a presence of peace and stability supporting me. More and more as I turned my attention to this woman, the more I felt this peace and warmth pour through me. It had nothing to do with her being attractive, as I could barely see her face. In fact, as I centered my focus on the energy emanating from this woman, the whole bus stop seemed to become engulfed in the same warmth and peace. I actually almost, despite myself, broke out into some kind of song mentally, and the energies went higher. Was this woman Maitreya or one of the masters? And that was by Kay Mish, Portland, Oregon, and Benjamin Creme's master confirmed that the woman was Maitreya.
Dear editor, it was probably in February 2004 when I was on the way home by train after the transmission meditation on Monday evening. An elderly man asked me with a very kind smile, "How are you?" I answered, "I am well," and he said, "That's great." He was dressed rather casually, and on his feet he had large, wide, beige shoes. I was not sure what that man wanted from me, and I was hoping he would not get into the same compartment as me. Then he got into the train and vanished. Who was this man? And Benjamin Creme's master confirmed the elderly man was the Master Jesus.
And that's all we have time for today, so thank you very much for listening to us. Love and blessings to you all. Bye.